We are Rogue Media Sports.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Doomsday Podcast, and Ed Werder comes to us from Philadelphia just a little while after he's spoken to Mike McCarthy, Dak Prescott, many of the others. I heard him. In fact, I was watching the post game on one of our local news stations. I think that was WFAA Channel 8 of Cooper Rush, and you could hear Ed getting involved and asking the questions. Always love it. Ed, you are performing this week and tonight with a heavy heart. I just wanted to acknowledge and let you know, obviously maybe a lot of our listeners have seen on Facebook or social media, but the passing of your father earlier this week, and I know he'd been sick for a good while now, but Ed, as you acknowledged or you talked about, he, even after kind of you thought you had said goodbye, he kind of hung in there for a pretty good while. But we did just want to let you know how much we've been thinking about you on that front. And then I know I wanted to just let you say a word about your dad. And I just appreciate you doing this and working so hard under some difficult circumstances.
Yeah, one of the hardest things I had to do this week was I had to write a tribute to my dad, his obituary. And you go through a lot of stories, and I was also trying to determine, my mom died 10 years ago in October, and I knew it was the same month, and I was trying to check and see how close the dates were to being exactly 10 years. It wound up being like 3 weeks. She was 3 weeks later in October, and as I was trying to find that out, because I had a picture of her tombstone, I couldn't remember the exact day, and so I was going through all these pictures on my phone, and it made me realize just how much more my dad got out of life than my mom did by going through all those pictures from the time she had died through when he did. And she never met our grandkids Henry and Delilah, and so at least my dad got that. And I credit my dad for my sense of humor, my love of sports, two things that have probably been as responsible as anything for whatever success I've had in my career and in my life. So I'm grateful to him for both of those things. And a lot of people thought, hey, you should probably, take some time off. Like you said, he actually lived longer than they had expected. And so he was at home for quite some time. And I went to see him, I don't know, 5 or 6 times more than I had expected. So we got to say everything we wanted to say. He told us that he knew he had lived a good life and that he was ready to go. And under those circumstances, I think that's all you can ask for. And so I decided not to take time off, because the two things that defined him were his work ethic and his love of the NFL. And so I thought I could put those two things together and work through my grief. And so here we are. So thank you for acknowledging the passing of somebody who was so influential in my life, took me to all my first sports events, supported me as an athlete when I was playing baseball and high school tennis. I often thought in tennis I was sort of John McEnroe without all the talent sometimes. And that means that I could break a racket, I could throw a racket, I could say some things that people might not want to hear. And my dad had the most unique way of dealing with that. He just left. He knew there was nothing worse he could do to me. He couldn't say anything to me that was going to correct my behavior or make the point more than he would just walk away as soon as he saw it. He'd just leave. And there was no, he was not turning back. He wasn't going to come back later in the match. It was over. You lost him for the day. So all these years later, that still sticks with me. Made a real powerful impact on me. But anyway, yeah, I'll miss my dad. Love him a lot. Was great. Family guy. Made his family first. Anyway, so he would certainly have appreciated, you know, being at a game like I was tonight.
Well, we'll continue to, because, you know, you'll continue to remember him and in the coming days, and then y'all will be celebrating him in the future and for a long time. And that is really cool that he got to meet your grandkids that you've enjoyed spending so much time with and loving being in Colorado and those kind of things. It is the Doomsday Podcast. Ed is coming to us from Philadelphia. We're taping this maybe an hour or so after the ball game, and also very appreciative to Frito Nation Productions, Mark Frito Friedman, gutting it out this evening. And so we appreciate him so much. Ed, this is a kind of a fascinating game in the sense that I think I don't know what it felt like there, but watching this one on TV, it just seemed like it was completely over. And you saw, I made some kind of joke about that was a great first half for Dak Prescott, because in a sense, it was just kind of it was like basically like, okay, we could stop all this nonsense. And obviously they need him. It was a really poor half. It was the first time Cooper Rush had thrown an interception. Well, he threw three of them in this game. It was almost kind of like Cooper was even admitting, yes, please come back, Dak. But, Ed, the fight that they showed in coming back in that game, I think they have to come out of this game. They lose it 26-17, but I just kind of wondered what the sense was from you having been around Dak and been around the whole team after it. I don't get the sense that it's like some enormous setback. In fact, I think probably the way they came back, they feel some real positives and some good feelings coming out of this loss.
Yeah, we're not going to have the quarterback controversy that maybe Jerry hoped for, whether he meant it or not. He said it, so I'm going to hold him to it. That came to a quick conclusion, but yeah, I mean, they got down 20 in the game, 20 to nothing. They score the next 17 points. They made a game of it in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, unfortunately, the defense that's carried them couldn't get a stop, and Jalen Hurts hit, you know, Devontae Smith for sort of the decisive touchdown. I think the Eagles are by far the best team the Cowboys have played. The Cowboys had four sacks, but they were really able to manage that part of the game, the part that overwhelms the traditional quarterback. The Matt Staffords, the Tom Brady's, Joe Burrow's, the big pass rush. Jalen Hurts is mobile, and they run the ball so well and include him in that they're a really unique team and a different challenge. And the Cowboys' offense with the turnovers and the bad Mike McCarthy gamble really put the defense in some bad situations. And ultimately, you know, the turnovers wound up costing them this game. I actually thought the most positive development for the Cowboys on a night when they lost to the division rival Eagles and now fall into third place in the division behind the Eagles and Giants, two games behind the Eagles, was Dak Prescott's pregame 50 pass throwing session. It was important enough that Mike McCarthy, the head coach who doesn't normally come out early, was out there on the field to observe with Will McClay. He said after the game, when I asked him to characterize it, that he felt like Dak took the next step. And then after the game, as you're going to hear, we got a chance to talk to Dak Prescott. And, you know, at the end of the night, as he was leaving the stadium, he said some really interesting things and made it clear that he hopes to return for this next Sunday's game against the Lions at home. But he's frustrated that he missed five games, but he's really grateful, you know, for what Cooper Rush did. And let's not overlook what Cooper Rush did. I mean, the loss to the Eagles was the first of his entire career as a starter. But he helped the Cowboys to a 4-1 record. And to put that into perspective, if Dak returns this week, as is expected, he's going to return to a Cowboys team that's 4-2. That's a better record than the Packers have with Aaron Rodgers starting every game. And it's a better record than the Bucs have with Tom Brady starting every game. So put in that context, it's fairly remarkable what they've accomplished in Dak Prescott's absence.
I agree. And it's good enough to get them, earn them third place of the NFC East.
For the moment. But they beat the Giants. So they get the Giants at home. And on Christmas Eve, they play the Eagles at home. So I think they're in pretty good standing considering where they are. But I do think that when the season started, you know, we looked at the Eagles and we said, you know, well, they might be good. We all know that nobody's won this division 2 years in a row in the past 17 years, but Dak seems to give them the big advantage at quarterback, and maybe that advantage isn't so big anymore. I still think Dak Prescott's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. But look at what the Eagles have done. They have not trailed in the second half of any of their games. They've finished on the plus side of the turnover margin every game this so far through six games. Nobody else in the league has done that. They're the first team to score multiple touchdowns on the Cowboys defense in the same game, but the first team to surpass 20 points. They did that in a half. So I think the Eagles are a formidable opponent, and the Cowboys are going to have a real challenge now running them down from two games back.
And even going back to my Andy Reid's Eagles teams when they were going to NFC title games every year, and then I can remember the years after that when I was really starting to cover them a lot. I mean, one issue they would have, and of course Dawkins was a great safety, but even after that, they would, for a long time, they had issues in the secondary. It's a good secondary. You saw it tonight. Slay makes plays. The guy they brought over from
Bradbury,
the Saints,
James Bradbury.
Bradbury makes them.
Gardner, C.J. Gardner Williams makes a lot of plays. Well, they had, well, like you said, they had three interceptions, and, you know, talking after the game, asking Cooper Rush, you know, kind of to account for all the mistakes he made in this game that he had avoided in all of the other games. It's, first of all, he's playing from behind the entire game for the first time. That makes it challenging when you're in there to try to establish the run game and at least be very balanced. They couldn't be because they're coming from behind. I thought the Eagles got a much better, more consistent pass rush on Rush. And I also thought their secondary, especially the two corners, were up challenging the receivers, CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup, in a way that Rush is just not used to. And he doesn't have the physical talent to throw guys open. You know, he can't. He was throwing balls, I think, into much tighter windows on a consistent basis than he had in any other game this season.
All right, before we move on, Ed, and I do want to get to what you gathered for us from Dak Prescott, because I think that's some important audio. And boy, Dak, I saw some footage, Ed, after the game of him walking off the field and clapping. And I think he's getting, with that thumb, I mean, just aggressive clapping. I saw some of those throws. You were out there observing those. Mike McCarthy was, Will McClay, as you said, and so I think that's exciting. It's also exciting to talk about our presenting sponsor. That is Marable Homes, family-owned custom home builder, building timeless classic homes in the Dallas area. In fact, Ed, I've tried to send him out there to Flower Mound where you live. I'm just like, they need some timeless classic homes. Those are beautiful homes out there, but Ed, I cannot wait for you to drive through my neighborhood in Lake Highlands and see what Marable Homes is doing. And their reputation just continues to grow. They're passionate about what they do, and they strive to make it a great experience for all their clients. And it's one of the really cool things. They build second homes for people because they just have such great relationships and become friends with people. And they don't just send a bunch of people over there and go, well, they preside over the whole experience. The website is marablehomes.com. It's MARABLEHOMES.com. And then on Twitter, it's at Marable Homes. And interestingly, Ed, I might have mentioned to you this once, but I just thought it was worth repeating that they have ties to the Cowboys in the sense that they are friends with the Murkison family, and so Robert and Burke and all those folks that you know, the former owner of the children that are the sons of the former owner, Clint Murkison, They have great relationship and have done business, and so pretty awesome that relationship. So Ed always loved to stop down and talk about Marable Homes. Now, let's let folks hear quickly from Dak Prescott. Ed was able to visit with him with some other reporters and was able to gather this audio. Here's a little bit of what Dak Prescott had to say to reporters after tonight's game.
Yeah, I mean, I never really had any doubt that the team wouldn't do what they just did. Obviously, y'all guys know me, very optimistic. Got a lot of pride in this team. Know the guys that are on this team, this defense, know what Cooper is capable of. So yeah, I mean, obviously just disappointed that I couldn't be with the guys along that past 5 weeks, I guess. But no, excited to move forward and happy as hell with the position that we're in, and yeah, we can get rolling.
What kind of juice does it give you that you guys are where you are after you've played three quarters of the season?
I mean, yeah, it's good being 4-2. I mean, obviously I'm not too excited about what the fact that we just lost, but yeah, I mean, excited that there's a long season ahead. We're in a good position. We control everything in front of us.
Do you feel that this might be the week for you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's my plan.
Making the point.
We play them on Christmas Eve. I'm one day at a time. I'm worried about preparing myself for the Lions, getting ready to go this week. When the time comes for these guys, yeah, we'll be more than ready. That's simply said.
I know you've been targeted games. You mentioned the Rams, and then now has it been like frustrating? Like how frustrating has it been? I guess when it gets pushed back for your timeline.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily get that frustrated over that. I can't control this. Obviously, something was healing. I had plans. Bone obviously didn't have the same plan, so as you said, I got pushed back. But that was just me being eager. That was nothing different than what Doc's plans, the trainer's plans. As I said, the plan now is just to go next week, and let's see if I can do that.
So. How did you feel throwing it tonight?
Great. Fantastic.
Thanks, Zach.
All right, there it was, Dak Prescott, as he prepares and indicates that he will be ready to take on Detroit. And Ed, the schedule coming up, I was looking at the Eagles and the Cowboys schedule. Both of them have a chance to make K. Cowboys could easily win the next four games. I mean, I really think they could get on a roll here. And the truth is, the Eagles have a shot to get to at least 10-0. I mean, they really do. When you start looking at who some of their games are coming up, you always, anytime you see the Commanders, you feel like that's probably a win. And I think Indy ends it. Chicago's involved in that. So interesting looking ahead at all that. Ed, I thought it was interesting, and I wanted to get your take on what the Eagles did to neutralize the player people are thinking, is the next great thing in the NFL. We're talking about Micah Parsons. He was very frustrated in the first half, and I thought they kind of used his speed and athleticism against him a little bit. Lots of naked boots, didn't block him some of the time, and he sort of got caught occasionally in no man's land. Do I drop back and try to cover this? Do I try to get to the quarterback? And it was kind of shocking, Ed. He went an entire half without a pressure. This is a man who, what was it, Ed? Didn't one game he had some kind of like crazy number of pressures? I mean, I remember.
Yeah, I think he had 9 pressures in one game, in the game against the Rams. He's already had 3 multi-sack games this season. So, yeah, it was a rare situation. He did get some pressure. They did get some pressure in the second half after Lane Johnson went out of the game with the concussion. Mm-hmm. He's a right tackle who hasn't given up a sack in like a year and a half or something like that. And so he only played half the game to make sure he had that record when he came back to the lineup next week. I'm saying that in jest, obviously, but outstanding player. But yeah, I thought they sort of, when Micah Parsons was on the line of scrimmage, they ran at him a lot. And when he was off the line of scrimmage, that's when they threw. A couple times they caught him in a coverage mismatch against a tight end. Completed a few balls on him that way. I think there was that touchdown pass was sort of the touchdown pass to A.J. Brown. Looked like kind of an RPO where they kind of forced him to commit to run or pass, and they were going to do just the opposite and essentially beat him for the touchdown. But, yeah, they had a tough night on defense. And like I said, their coach and their offense didn't always put them in a very good situation. I mean, they were down 20-0 before they crossed midfield, and that was because of Kevontae Turpin's long kickoff return. The first time they crossed midfield, but they still managed to come back and make a game of it. And, you know, that's an important quality to have. I mean, they had every reason to get beat by 35 or quarterback, and given the deficit they faced, and they didn't. They were competitive.
Yeah, I think that's true. To make it 2017, and then I thought it was good to get Zeke going, the run game, good on Kellen Moore for kind of sticking with that when they could have. I mean, obviously they needed to get some things out of Cooper Rush's hands, and the running game helped settle things down immensely. And then that great touchdown run by Zeke. All right, we need to get to it is our stretch plays. And we're going to do our grades, and then Ed and I are going to sign off on what is now an extremely late night in downtown Philly, where Ed is, and where it's late for everybody. But here is Glenn Stretch Smith with his stretch plays. And Stretch, tonight, you know, I think, and I heard you talking about this earlier on WFAA Channel 8, ABC affiliate Dallas, with Joe Trahan, certainly some positives came out of this loss, 26-17. But let's start with Cooper Rush. You know, he's done such a good job in leading this team and had won his first four games at the start of this season. In this first half, Cowboys fall behind 20-0 and two really bad interceptions. And, you know, his passer rating in the first half was like a 1. So it was the first time he's just really, really played poorly. What do you think was going on? And was it one of those things where you just felt like maybe he felt the pressure of the moment? Was there too much on him? What did you make of Cooper Rush's play? Because obviously he settled down a little bit in the second half.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to start with the last interception, Matt. And I say that because I felt like it was the perfect play call at the perfect time. Philadelphia had 8.5 guys in the box. Dallas called a max protection play and a 2-man route. And CeeDee Lamb, it's going to be a touchdown if Rush can get his feet up under him and let the ball go. Now, he took a shot. Ball was short. Safety came over the top and made the pick. It was a bad throw, but it wasn't something where you just say, like you did the first two interceptions, where you felt like he gets picked on the inside curl route and then he throws the other pick. You just say, golly, how, you know, we know he's kind of a golf, you know, he's kind of like that golfer that feathers all his shots. I mean, he's not taking a full rip at it, banging it in there and expecting it to hit, you know, draw back for him or run back for him. He kind of feathers the ball. And I felt like Philadelphia tonight did a really nice job of saying, we're going to do everything we can to get them down, and then we're going to make him have to make the throws. You saw those balls, the comeback that set outside the Gallup when he pivoted out of it out there, and the ball just sat in the air forever and allowed the DB to come break underneath it. That's kind of the ball he throws. So that's why they have to run so much of that play action. I really didn't like the two first interceptions that he threw. I thought, you know, they were really poor balls. They were really poorly placed. And they just didn't have anything on them. It's hard to get on here and get on a backup quarterback. It really is. That kid has played his ass off. He's done everything you've asked him to do. He went 4-1 in a 5-week span of the starter being out. To sit here and say, I'm going to give him, you know, a hardcore. Mostly I'm giving him a damn D. He should have played better. Mm. But But it is hard to do that, and it's hard to give him that grade. But when you're looking at this and you're having to say, I got to grade this film and I'm going to turn something over that is respectable. You know what? Yeah. To me, he was the only guy on offense that didn't have a winning grade. I tell you what, man, I thought Ezekiel Elliott ran the football tonight as well as I've seen him run it in a long time. I mean, he ran the football with purpose. He ran the football to finish runs. He ran the football into open field. That was awesome. I thought you saw an offensive line tonight who really played pretty well in the big scheme of things. I see Terrence Steele continuing to make big strides and do things on that right side with Martin that allow him now to do some pulling, and, you know, that they're confident that he'll be able to get to that inside gap. So, you know, I saw a lot of good things with the offensive line. I saw good things with the young tight ends. I mean, you saw Ferguson make some plays. Yeah, Hendershot got the penalty. He hadn't run that motion down in there, and it's easy to ding him. But I thought the tight ends did a great job. And I'm really encouraged by CeeDee Lamb taking it, sticking it up in there. I mean, we talked about him, and I've dinged him before because, you know, he wasn't really running it up in there like he had a pair. And tonight, hell, he stuck it up in there. And that, to me, that's what you want to see. This football team offensively spotted them 20 points and really had every opportunity to come back. And I thought made it a hell of a football game. You know, I'm going to give Rush that D. I'm going to stick by it. I'm going to give the tight ends a B. I'm going to give a running back an A. I'm going to give the offensive line a B+. And I saw a lot of things out of this offense tonight that leads you to believe that it is time for their starter to step in, and hopefully he can knock some of the rust off against Detroit and Chicago. And if this is the best team in Philadelphia that you're going to see in the NFC and you're a Cowboys fan, you got to be excited because you played with them tit for tat and turned the football over two and three times.
Yeah, you're right. You made it despite those two turnovers and seemingly being out of the game at halftime. You climb back in there and had it to 2017. Now, Stretch, let's go for the defensive side of the ball. And the stretcher, boy, the D for the backup quarterback. I know he didn't feel great about it, but he did go ahead and lean into it, give him the D on defense. Stretch, you got to hand it to the Eagles. Game plan-wise, I think the broadcasters, I think Chris Collinsworth, some of the folks picked up on it. They kind of almost use Micah Parsons' unbelievable athleticism and speed against him to a certain extent, and kind of letting him free. They use the speed game and the boots and all that Hurts does well, and I think for a little while at least provided kind of a blueprint for how you succeed against that defense. Now, of course, they were working on short fields at times, all of that. Cowboys did adjust. Overall thoughts on that D-line, because it was a real up and down. I think Azua had some great moments. I mean, there were some really good plays. Even Van Der Esch looked good. Donovan Wilson had a really good play. But also they gave up quite a bit in this game, both on the run and in the passing game.
I mean, I thought going into this game, if I told you they were going to average about 3-5 a rush, you'd say, I'll take it. That's what they averaged, 3.5 yards a rush. This is a dynamic rushing attack because they do some of that RPO stuff. You have to account for the quarterback. And when you have to account for the quarterback, that can cause you at times some problems. I think he had 26 or 27 yards rushing. I mean, that doesn't bother me at all. I thought the defense really played pretty stinking well, considering you put them in a bad position turning the football over at the 35 and then the pick at the 45. And they held them to 6 points in those two drives. So, I mean, other than the one drive where they had, you know, they it was a 13-play drive. I think they ran the football 11 times or something like that. And yeah, they were able to do some things from a run game standpoint. But again, other than Fowler jumping off sides in that critical situation, I mean, it didn't bother me at all that, you know, Diggs got the red ash and slammed his helmet down. I mean, to me, that shows that this team has got a lot of pride. You see at the end of the game, Odighizuwa was having none of what Kelce had. And, I mean, he dropped him flat on his ass with a hell of a wrestling tackle. I mean, I thought it was a good move, and he showed. Hey, I tell you what, we ain't rolling over in this situation. They showed some fight. I saw a defensive coordinator again who did some nice things adjusting at the half to what he saw in the first half. I think Brown got – you know, he got a little turned around one time, and that, you know, they run a little inside slant. They got, you know, Brown, the other Brown bailed out of it on him. So,
yeah.
You know, I thought that, I didn't know those things were going to happen, but I thought defensively, they played well enough tonight to get you a win. They really did. Now, would you like to see some turnovers? Absolutely. Would you like to see some more of that, you know, what I call casino blitz when they run both those guys in that A gap and they absolutely just hammered Hurts. I mean, I thought they kept him away from being able to run the football, which he likes to do. I thought they kind of made Philadelphia almost one-dimensional. And I thought when the game became 20-10, I'm thinking, okay, this fixed to be a football game. And I would have never thought that Rush could have brought you back from being 20 down, but he did, and the defense, you know, they didn't get the big turnover that they normally get. But I thought as a whole, the defense played well enough to get you a win. And I still see some things out of Norris Armstrong that I like. I mean, there's a lot of positives here. And, again, I'm going to go with a straight B across the board for the defense. But I'm going to tell you something. I really believe that if Philadelphia is the best in the NFC, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, you're saying, hey, I tell you what, we just took them toe-to-toe, spotting them 20 in their own backyard with a second-string quarterback, and you feel good about where you're at.
And to your point, and you kind of alluded to it earlier, there have been some people, even Jerry suggested, wouldn't it be a great dilemma to have this quarterback keep winning? Aikman brought that up recently. Oh, what if he keeps winning and they keep doing well, and what would you have to do? And, you know, people, you got to take notice when somebody like Troy brings that up, because he went through that one time back in the early 90s with Steve Berline. Well, in a sense, this clears the decks. This performance tonight by Cooper Rush – although, again, you got to take your hat off to how he's done overall, but is a reminder that you just function so much better with Dak. So any thought that, oh, these guys are pretty close, or Dak's not that better, much better than Cooper Rush, there are people going to hate on Dak. Dak gives them the best chance, I think. And then also lastly, I would just say, I thought Turpin, man, was a great play at the end of the first half that he made. I thought he gave them some juice and gave them some impetus. So, Stretch, I got to say, as we sign off tonight, tremendous sport coat by you on Channel 8 tonight. I had it in high def, and I had it on the rear projection TV, you and Joe Trahan. And usually there's no way, like, guys like us can outshine the anchors because they have such huge budgets for wardrobes. That was a beautiful sport coat. So, my hat's off to you. Tremendous job this evening. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, Matt. And, yeah, I clean up all right for no one-eyed fat kid every once in a while. I try to come out there and, you know, bring a little something to the party. But, the one thing I'll say before we go, I got to give my hat off to old Bones Fossil. He's doing some things with Turpin. So a lot to look forward to. Hey, I appreciate you having me on that.
You bet. You bet. Mark Friedel Freeman, appreciate you too. There he goes. Glenn Stretch Smith. It is Stretch Plays, one of the most popular segments we do here at the Doomsday Podcast. And we continue on now. All right. There was Glenn Stretch Smith. And, you know, as the Cowboys get ready for Detroit, and sitting here at 4-2 in pretty good position, Dak Prescott has acknowledged, as you heard, that he believes he'll be able to play next week. Everybody seems to think that. Ed, put it in perspective, if you would. What do you think the Cowboys, how different can this offense look with Dak back at the helm, hopefully a fully healthy Dak Prescott?
Yeah, And I think you touched on it. You know, this is a favorable situation for him to come back to. They've got home games against Detroit and then the Bears. So a good time to continue to win games, even if he is not immediately, you know, at his very best. But and Mike McCarthy kind of outlined the week. He said, hey, you know, Monday, Dak's going to see the doctor. Hopefully he gets cleared. They're eliminating their Wednesday practice in favor of them like a mock game. And then Thursday they'll have a full practice in pads. And the hope would be that Dak would take part in both of those things and then be, you know, ready to go on Sunday. I think that, you know, Cooper Rush was so successful, and, you know, people saw the way they were winning these games and liked the fact that they were winning with defense and complimentary football and, you know, the run game and being, you know, somewhat conservative in the passing game. But I think his 5-0 record as a starter, you know, really obscured some real alarming issues that I talked about before the game, that I thought at some point the Cowboys were going to get in a game and have to score, and they weren't going to be able to do it. You know, they went into this game with just 7 offensive touchdowns. That was the fewest in the NFL for any team with a winning record. Tampa Bay was next with 9. So they were 2 less than any other team with a winning record. Their scoring average of 18.6 points per game for the season, with Rush starting all but one game, 18.6 points per game. That's what the Carolina Panthers were averaging, and they fired their coach last week. they were one of the worst, you know, third down teams, one of the worst red zone teams. So there's a lot that Dak Prescott's going to be able to make up for, you know, in terms of his dynamic playmaking, his ability to get the ball down the field. He's obviously better on the move. He can extend plays. But I think what people have seen and they would like Dak to be more mindful of is playing within the structure of the offense and getting the ball out on time consistently, and not extending plays. And, you know, is he going to be able to take snaps from under center? That's become a big part of what they do. I think Cooper Rush, like 65% of the time, he's taking the snap from under center. Dak usually takes it from under center like only 40% of the time. So that's going to be a big thing. Is his thumb going to be able to handle that? You know, two things I would say that define tonight's game in closing. Cooper Rush on throws of 10 or more yards was 4 for 14 for 57 yards of 3 picks. You know, he just doesn't have the arm talent that Dak Prescott does to deliver the deeper throws and do it accurately and get some run after the catch. So I think that's one defining issue from this game or stat from the game. And I think the other one is that the Eagles are ending the week with the fewest turnovers in the NFL. They have 2. The Cowboys were tied for the fewest with the Eagles, but now they have 5. And the Eagles are also, they have the most takeaways. So they have a plus 12 turnover margin already because they've only turned the ball over twice and they've taken away from their opponents 14 times. They're the second team since the merger in 1970 to lead outright in giveaways and takeaways at this point in the season.
Well, good stuff, Ed, and I appreciate it. Boy, you and Frito both doing yeoman's work this evening on a late night Philly, about 2 a.m. in Philly as we wrap this one up. And also wanted to thank our sponsors again, Marable Homes, or Blake Marable, the whole gang out there, incredible. Custom homes. I'm talking about just beautiful homes. I saw, I was driving by just the other day, a new home going up, and Marable Homes has become synonymous with just gorgeous homes in the Lake Highlands area. And really starting at Preston Hollow, you know, there are some different places where they do these homes, but timeless, classic homes. Also wanted to say thanks to Lakeside Roofing, serving the DFW Metroplex with the highest quality roofing products, paired with the highest quality workmanship. Lakeside Roofing Company as well for being just a great supporter of ours. You can find them at lakesideroofco.com. That's lakesideroofco.com. So again, Cowboys lose this one 26-17, but all hope is not lost as the Cowboys seemingly left for dead 20-3 at halftime. Come rolling back and make it 20-17 And perhaps this was a helpful reminder that though Cooper Rush did his job and did it extremely well, it is definitely time for the team's $40 million quarterback to step back in. And some of the four storylines that there was some sort of controversy here have been blown out of the water. And I think the timing is perfect. Now, in a sense, this would have been a very tough road game, not fully healed, to come back for Dak. The Detroit team hopefully start to work his way back in, and the Cowboys have a great chance to get on a bit of a roll here and get this thing going. NFC East race far from over, but it is funny that the Eagles now 6-0, the Giants 5-1, the Cowboys 4-2, sitting in third place. But you'll remember they had that win over the Giants, a very interesting night all the way around. And I thought there was some interesting stuff at the end of the game where the Eagles coach Sirianni was seen saying the game was over and throwing some expletives the Cowboys' direction. Life is being pumped back in to this rivalry, I think, on both sides. Now the Cowboys very excited about the Eagles coming to Arlington, and that'll be a great matchup. I want to appreciate everybody who's a part of this thing and subscribes and listens to us. Mark Friedo Friedman doing an incredible job for us tonight. He's the reason we can turn these things around and present them to you. Again, Marable Homes, Lakeside Roofing, great sponsors. And also thanks to Ed Werder doing a tremendous job there from Lincoln Financial Field as he finished up covering the game for ESPN. Spent hours upon hours at the stadium today, and then hustle Mosley. Good night from far north Dallas.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hey, it's Mark Goodman.
And I'm Alan Light.
On today's podcast, Record Store Day founder Carrie Colleton is joining us to discuss the April 20th RSD special releases.
Plus, we'll talk live with our audience, the Sound Up Pod Squad, and find out who still listens to vinyl. And some updates from the Beatles universe.
Oh, good. Sound Up with Mark Goodman and Alan Light, the only music podcast that matters. Get it on Pandora, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.